Good morning. Good to see you here. And isn't it exciting about that new congregation member for us? Very, very exciting. Ben and Sarah having their baby. We decided, talking with the Nirmal earlier on this week, we decided to have a sermon earlier in the service than we would normally kind of have it towards the end, but we're going to do it early right now. And then the reason is because we're going to have a time of just getting stuck into worship and singing songs and praising God. And the reason for that is because of the fourth beatitude. Can anyone remember what that fourth beatitude was? Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. So what I'll be talking about is saying how we need a passion for God and for God breaking into this world and into our own lives. So it's a time to get passionate about our worship. In that second half of the service. That's where we're leading, okay? So get prepared. Are you ready? Good. So we've been going through the Beatitudes and all the blessed are's. And if I could have my first slide, thank you. The blessed are. And they found it, you've already found them in Matthew. And it's the start of this great Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching some wonderful wisdom for us that is still so relevant for us in many different ways. And the word beatitude or blessed are can, as I said last week, can be translated to mean happier those or joyful or a sense of peace as well and holiness there. So I'm talking about this series as the secrets to happiness, and we've got 9 secrets to a happy life. So we're doing 2 each week, and last week we did the first 2, and we had some homework there for you as well. The next one, the third one, is blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the words meek, I think, oh, really? I don't really want to be meek. It kind of, I got taught all this stuff in primary school about being assertive and not let people stamp on you and put you down and those sorts of things. You know, in an age of bullying and all that kind of stuff, you're supposed to stand up to the bullies. So meekness sounded like something that I didn't really want to have as a quality in my life. So what does it actually mean? And I think it does need unpacking for us to understand it fully. And if you look through this a little bit more, you'll realize that when Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, those two words, those two sort of phrases, being inheriting the earth and meekness, are actually a reference to Psalm 37. And now, as Jesus spoke, most people would have known the Psalms, they would have known them by heart, so they would have understood this reference. So Psalm 37, I'm going to read it to you, and you can get it from your Bibles there yourselves. And I'm going to start reading from verse 7 and through to 11. It says this, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, but refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For evil people will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace." You see that? The meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace. So what's it talking about here? And the rest of the psalm, it's a longish psalm, goes on about this sense that don't worry about what the wicked are doing in the short term, okay? When you're feeling oppressed, when you're feeling like there's a sense of injustice going on, that God can see what's happening and it's just not right that what's going on with these people, or you're feeling hurt or those sorts of things. It's saying, you know, don't just react out of violence to them straight away. You hear that? It said, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. Don't repay evil for evil. In other words, but what's it say? Be patient. Have a long-term view on things. Those people will come and go just like the grass. I don't know about your grass, but if you don't water it, it kind of goes brown in the summertime, then springs up again and goes brown. They'll come and go. And we need to have a longer-term vision of that. And those people who wait patiently and have this sense of meekness will actually inherit the earth, is what it's saying. Now, inheritance is something that's a long-term thing, isn't it? It doesn't happen immediately. It's not like you drive through McDonald's and get your inheritance. You inherit it after a long amount of time. It's a patient waiting that's required for inheritance. So one commentator described it like when injustice is happening, there's anger and fury and rage, and you can press those emojis on your phone straight away, or those red ones, which are pretty well used these days. Actually, I think this is the next slide. I'll go back to that. Okay, so you can press the rage button when something happens. That's one extreme. And respond with anger and violence. Or else, on the other extreme, you can respond with apathy. I don't care. God might work it out. Really, in the end, I don't care. Doesn't matter. I'm going to live my own life. They'll live their life. Let's just, as long as we don't get in the way of each other, that's all right. So apathy. And so there's two extremes, apathy and rage and anger. And meekness is something in the middle. It's kind of like a moss-covered rock or a slow-moving glacier, if that makes sense. There's a sense of power there too, but it's slow-moving, and it's not a violent power. And it's not an apathetic, just not caring. That's what meekness is. Now, when I hear that about sort of patience, it makes a bit more sense, and it's something that I go, yes, I can see why that would be something that causes happiness, blessedness. An image that comes to mind is the mountain ash, which is found in the forest in Victoria and in Tasmania. That's the seeds of a mountain ash. Pretty small, aren't they? Those that's obviously a finger, so you can fit how many on your finger. Thing is, those mountain ash seeds grow into some of the tallest trees that are found in the world. Up to 100 meters tall, up to 200, 300 years old. In the ground, they start to go as saplings. And it's interesting that the only way that you get new saplings and those seeds to actually take root is you need a fire. You need that tree to burn. And that actually does kill the tree when it burns fully, and then the crown burns, but it releases a whole lot of seeds which fall into the ground, and then they've got space, they've got the ash, they've got the sunlight that comes down, and they can start to form little saplings that grow, and they don't, because there's so many of them, they don't get eaten up by everything else. And eventually it grows into that mountain ash and a big forest. That's a long-term vision that little seed has. It's kind of like meekness is about whispering to that seed and saying, you can grow into a mountain ash, one of the tallest trees in the world. You might be the smallest right now, but you will be the tallest. And it goes through a lot of adversity to do so. So when those sorts of things happen, have a long-term vision. I just go, okay, well, I'm just going to sprout now, do my thing, and then tomorrow I'll do something else. Have a long-term vision. That's what meekness is. Now, I've got here the words a single tree or a forest. It's interesting, when you talk about these Beatitudes and when Jesus is preaching, how do we hear it? If you're from a kind of a Western culture, we're pretty much trained to think more individualistically. Maybe at the most your immediate family, So for me, it might be Nicole and myself and my three boys. And that's about it. Maybe a little bit more, maybe grandparents, but not too much more than that. And in some ways, the Greco-Roman world, when Jesus was talking, those listeners that had that Greco-Roman experience, they would have heard it from that individualistic sense of point of view. So meekness and inheriting the earth being something that's talking about me and my response. But there's another way to see things. So there's the Jewish way to see things, and in many ways an Asian culture or a number of other cultures that aren't Western would see things more collectively, more as a group, more as a community, as a church, if you like. Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's not just talking about an individual, but it's talking about a whole people. And it's important to keep thinking of that. Every time we read the Bible, in fact, that we see things like as a single tree, but also as a forest. Does that make sense? All right. So I'm going to move on to the second one, or it's actually the fourth one. Okay, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, to explain this, I need to talk about this word, righteousness. Matthew likes to, in Matthew's gospel, the Beatitudes are formed more around spiritual stuff. Rather than just straight physical thirst and hunger, although you certainly see that in Jesus' teachings as well and other places. So the blessed are those who are hungry and are thirsty. God is Jesus constantly lifting up those who are in poverty. So I talked a little bit about that last week, the two sides of the same coin, the spiritual and the physical. But I'm going to talk about the spiritual more today, okay? So blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. What does righteousness mean? So righteousness being made right with God or being justified. And it's not something that you achieve out of your own merit, is it? If you've been around Christians for a while or you know some of the teachings of Jesus, you work out that we can't achieve our own righteousness. It's only through Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the best sort of summaries of this is from Romans chapter 3, verse 22 to 28. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, so this isn't the NIV, the New International, but I find New Living can help with some of Paul's writings, which can be a little bit tricky to understand sometimes. So here it is, the New Living. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, no matter who the person next to you is, no matter what your background is, no matter what your DNA or your culture is, we can all be made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It goes on and says, for everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. There's no one here that's perfect. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. That's about righteousness. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. And this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he's looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is just and fair, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done nothing, anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal, and we've been hearing about acquittals this week, haven't we? Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. So we're made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. And that's the wonderful good news, isn't it? So that's where our righteousness comes from. So what does it mean to say that we thirst for this kind of righteousness? It's a righteousness that we can't earn, but is given to us by faith. Faith in God, faith that Jesus died for us. Well, isn't that a thirst for our own salvation effectively, and also the salvation of those around us? That's what it's saying. I want to ask you a question. This is time for you to little chat for a little while. The person next to you, can you think of a time when you were hungry or thirsty? So it says that blessed are those who hunger or thirst. And I was trying to think of a time myself. Maybe it was because I had, I can remember a time when I had really bad gastro, but I don't need to go through that whole story with you. But I got very dehydrated at a time. That was probably the most thirsty that I can remember being. Maybe you can continue that conversation afterwards. But was there a sense of desperation? Can you remember that? Can you bring up those feelings there? I've been wrestling with and thinking about, why did Jesus use the image of thirsty, being thirsty and hungry for righteousness? Why thirst for it? I want to particularly talk about being thirsty because I think you can, from the research, it says that you can last about 3 weeks without food, but only about 3 or 4 days without water. Is that right? Yeah. That's what you just said there. Yeah. And it's interesting that God has made our bodies that they're very thirsty. They need a lot of water all the time. We're about 60% water, apparently. We perspire a lot. Even on a really hot day, we might be losing about a litre an hour in extreme circumstances. We leaky. We've got leaky bodies. And we need to keep... Yeah, I probably need to be careful about that one. But we have a sense of thirst. I don't know about you, but the times where I have been thirsty and maybe it's been a long run or something like that, and you get water, and I don't care what temperature it is. Colder is nice, but even at warm room temperature, and you drink it, and it feels like the sweetest thing you've ever tasted in your life. And it's just like, oh, just through your body. That's what's being talked about here. Have that sense of desperation of, yes, please, of coolness and refreshing and sweetness coming through your whole body. That's what you're desperate for in terms of righteousness, in terms of God being people being made right before God's eyes, you being made right before God's eyes. We had a great youth group on Friday night for 1532 youth, and one of the questions that was asked by Tim was when we did some study, journaling, was actually, I think I've got it there. What this week has kept me from making God a priority? What this week has kept me from making God a priority? God said, Jesus said to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, with everything that we've got. And I don't know about you, but when I was contemplating that and journaling that, one of the things that came is I tend to, on my phone, I use the news app way too much. I'm just always flicking the news. Never any news that I really like to read, but I'm always constantly flicking into it. And I'd rather spend time thinking about God's righteousness and thirsting for that. So, last week I gave you some homework. This week I've got two bits of homework for you to do as well. And again, I'm going to give you a few minutes to just consider this. Maybe if you want to talk to the person next to you, or you want to journal it or write it in your phone. Two questions. On a scale of fly off the handle, I think that's what I was pointing this side for anger and rage, wasn't it? Fly off the handle or apathy way over there, where would you put yourself? What steps can you take to be more centered and more patient? That's the wrong way to spell patient, isn't it? No, that's all right? Okay, good. Good. not a patient, but being patient. Okay. And the second one is, what this week has kept you from making God a priority? I want to finish by talking about Jesus just as a great example of this. Jesus had this beautiful way of teaching, but also living it out himself. He never teaches us to do something that he's not willing to do himself. And if you talk about meekness, I can't help but think of the strength of the humility of the cross. Here is those who are enacting violence against him, and he's not being apathetic, but he's not being violent back. He's being humble. And even on the cross, he says with great strength, actually, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And I think about how thirsty and hungry he was for righteousness, for our righteousness, for the righteousness of our community here at Burnside City, for the people out there in Burnside, and the people that live next door to you. How thirsty and hungry was he for righteousness, for their righteousness? He was so hungry and thirsty that he was willing to give his own life for it. Let me pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is someone who teaches us with great wisdom. Wisdom that permeates our very souls. That teaches us what true happiness is. Lord, he wasn't just a great teacher. He walked the talk as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to come forward and lead us in a time of worship now.